Second Epistle of Peter, chapter 1, from the verse number 9.
But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard, when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
How can a believer forget that he was purged from his old sins? Perhaps the passage in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 18, from the verse number 22 to the end of that chapter, is one of the answers. I owe so much, and I beg forgiveness. My neighbor owes me a little, but for him I have none of the mercy I thought that I received as my private personal possession. In the Epistle of James, chapter 2, verse 13, we see the judgment without mercy reserved for the merciless. Desiring mercy and grace for me alone might be a serious symptom of a deadly illness called cruelty. Lacking mercy is twofold. Just as the abundance of God's mercy cannot stop with me. If I really received mercy from the Lord, I cannot help but be merciful. If I received His grace, I am graceful. I cannot be under God's mercy without His mercy for His children. Nor can I receive grace and be graceless. I think there are many ways of forgetting God's wonderful works that the Lord did for us and for all of His family. When we are burdened with worries and fears, we might be ignoring His present time goodness and grace. We might have forgotten the loving care of our Lord we experienced in the past. In the Epistle of James, chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, is a teaching for us to be doers of the gospel and not fruitless hearers. The Lord is not teaching us empty religion. The living faith manifested in doing His good pleasure from the heart is His gift. Genuine charity is full of life. Charity keeps in our heart and mind always fresh awareness of God's grace and power. In the verse number 10, we are given strong instruction to give myself, to be diligent, to make my calling sure. Doing all that, I shall never fall. I can keep trying to secure myself from falling with my entire strength as long as I can breathe, and I will surely remain in my fallen condition. When I humbly, prayerfully, bravely strive to do His will, His grace is working in me. He lifted me, I am in Him. I am in the entering, walking through that portal. In the flesh, I am still down here, but the moment He called me home, He made me ready. My soul is in His hand. His protection is all around me. I think I just shared with you a small portion of the full meaning of these two verses, 10 and 11. It is obvious that there is so much more in them. As our Lord said, "The words I tell you are spirit and life." Gospel according to John chapter 6 verse 63. In the verse number 10, the apostle is teaching us to be diligent. In the verse number 12, he is giving us his good example that we would follow him as he is following the Master. He is not going to be negligent in refreshing our memory of the grace of God, prompting us to seek in order to find, to knock till we see it open, to ask from Him who has all we need for living and growing in godliness. The apostle knows that the disciples are already instructed and even established in the truth, stirring up our memory by the written word and also by personal and mutual experience of God's grace and power is not disgracing one another. To the contrary, it is mutual admiration. Our elder brother Peter is not forgetful of the reality of his departure. He is serving the Lord for the benefit and blessings to the fellow believers, not only for the present time, but also for the future, not only for his generation, but also for all the believers that will believe until that glorious day. Peter believes it is proper. He didn't see his labor as his own enormous contribution to the gospel work. It is just proper nature and personality of the new man trusting the Lord. The apostle knows that his time down here is short. For the runners in the faith, the time is short. For the sleepers in this life, the time is slow and boring. The Lord Jesus Christ has revealed to the apostle some facts about the time and the manner of his, Peter's, departure. We know that the Lord knows all about our time limits and about our need to labor, run, watch and pray. Let us prayerfully strive to be on guard till his last call. It is better to be called home out of our labor than to be surprised in the midst of our negligence. We know not the day nor the hour. Let us wait for the Lord doing His will. We remember the light-minded King Hezekiah in the second book of Kings, chapter 20, verses 12 through 19. In the last verse of this passage, the king seems to be concerned with peace and welfare in his days only, the consequences of his foolishness coming after his death were not his concern. The apostle Peter has a lot of reason to labor for the lasting benefit and blessing of God's people, because this is Peter's God and Peter's people as he indicated in the verse number 1, addressing the epistle to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. This equality of all believers before God has been apostolic application and interpretation of our Lord's gospel from the beginning. We find it in the book of Acts in the chapter 10, verse 47, and in the chapter 11, verse 17. Peter's faith is in Christ the Lord. He stated in the verse 16 of the first chapter in this second epistle, "We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty." Worldly leaders are misguided by Satan's cunning devices. Then they figure out their own cunning devices to misguide the people that follow them. Christians must beware of all these evil devices and trust only the eyewitnesses of our Savior's majesty. When we trust in the trustworthy testimony of these faithful witnesses, we ourselves become the eyewitnesses in this present time, and the visions hidden from the last world the Spirit is revealing to us. On the path of obedience there are many revelations. The glory of our Savior and Lord was revealed to Peter many times in Peter's ministry. As we read the Gospel books and the Acts of the Apostles, we'll find many testimonies. As we trust and obey our Lord, we experience many more. Let us be careful not to despise our Lord's revelation, signs, and wonders. Let us be just as careful not to make up false miracles and wonders or exaggerate any stories beyond the frame of reality. Our Lord is not pleased with man-made testimonies. Of all the glorious experiences the apostle was blessed with, in this place Peter has chosen this early one that happened in the years of our Lord's presence in the flesh. It was majestic beyond the limits of human understanding to see and hear the Almighty God of Israel, the Creator of the universe, talking to the three disciples, referring to His Son, as if the New Testament fellowship was formed already. Majestic foretelling. When we obey the Savior's call, follow Him as He leads, the Father is revealing to us more and more of His Son, in whom the Father is well pleased, even so well pleased, that when we are in the Son, we are acceptable to the Father, all on the merit of His ransom. I would think that more than 30 years passed since that experience of Peter's. Peter's confidence in the authenticity of that revelation has been only stronger with the passing of the time. May the Lord bless us with following Him to the top of every holy mount. Whenever and wherever the Lord takes us apart to give us another one of His revelations, it is a holy place, a holy mount. Every revelation we receive is in perfect harmony with His Word. If there is any discrepancy between the Word of God and our supposed revelation, we are deceived, but the Word of God is the truth. How has the word of prophecy become surer to the apostles? Every message from God is as sure as the one that sent it, as the verse number 21 is confirming. holy men of God have spoken, moved by the Holy Spirit. As we trust and obey the Lord Jesus Christ, He leads us to the holy mounts of His revelations, and the whole Scripture is becoming clearer and clearer, adding to our confidence in His word and will. We do well relying on the Word of God, the only true light in this dark world of sin and deception. This epistle is written to these that already have received the precious faith. In the Gospel according to John chapter 8 verse 12, the Lord said, "I am the light of the world. My followers shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Trusting and obeying the living word, we pass from darkness to light. As we are growing in the faith and the word, growing in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, every new testimony, new experience of our Lord's grace and power in our daily walk is like a new day in which we see the truth in greater clarity. Even more in the time of distress or persecution, the presence of the Lord is like a day star arisen in our hearts. If we get distressed or confused, let us just take heed to the word. The day star will arise again very soon, and we will see our Lord in brightness greater than before. He who sent us the prophetic messages has fulfilled them Himself. In the Son, the Father is perfectly pleased. Fear not, little flock, for it is our Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. As long as we are down here, let us continue in Christ, for the kingdom is in the King.